Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and we got a return visitor, Stone.
Good morning, sir. We most certainly do. The last time that we had a chance to visit with this gentleman, there was just so much insight, and it's like after he would say it, you're like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. But I think there's a lot of stuff that this guy knows that I don't think sometimes we fail to keep it front of mind. So anxious to catch back up with him, see what he's been up to, and get some additional insight into sales and recruiting, developing sales talent. Please join me in welcoming back to the Business Radio X studio, founder and president of Sales Talent, Mr. Jack Scherer. How you doing, man?
Doing great. How you doing, Stone?
I am doing well. You've been busy since we talked to you last.
Absolutely right. Our business up considerably, and I think that's based upon a couple of things.
Your appearance on the show.
Your appearance on the show was outstanding, right?
Well,
a lot of notoriety.
Look, you connect the dots, you know, before the appearance and after the appearance.
Right. But I think a couple things have happened since 08. Number one, companies are hiring more salespeople because of the economy. Number two, everyone realizes that nothing happens until a sale is made. So always looking for exceptional salespeople that can bring in additional business.
So now, your company is Sales Talent,
right?
And what exactly do you guys do?
Okay, Sales Talent is a full-service integrated sales performance agency. We focus on three core elements. Number one, developing sales strategy playbooks for a business. Number two, we go out and recruit top sales talent. Number three, we develop customized sales training programs.
So now, are they customized by industry or are they customized by the specific company?
They're customized by the specific company, Lee. For example, someone owns an IT firm. We go in and perform an audit to determine the strengths and weaknesses of that company. We take that information back to our office and we develop a customized sales playbook and training manual for that specific company. One size does not necessarily fit all. We're working on a software program called Sales Max that will automatically do this based upon input and output of information.
Now, I can understand that each company has its kind of unique personality and unique challenges, but are there some overarching principles that are consistent no matter what industry you are when it comes to selling?
Good question, Lee. Wrote a book called 21 Laws of Sales Success, and it's what I learned in the streets selling. And I think there's five core principles out of that book that I'd like to explain or go over. Number one is a great salesperson has to create trust. And trust is more of an emotional trigger that why do you trust somebody? You trust them specifically because they seem to radiate integrity, good character, good caring about the individual prospect. And most importantly, or one of the most important elements would be they're actually good at what they do. Second element is, and this is a key point of salesmanship, probably one of the most important, is they don't sell things, they solve problems, because every sale is really a solution to a problem. There is a general consensus that most salespeople are not trustworthy because they're trying too hard to sell, and when in fact we need to be able to solve problems. Number three, most sales occur at touch number 4, 5, 6, and 7. Good salespeople need to follow up effectively, have a system of doing it. They don't close sales. They get commitment. And we don't. If I'm selling to you, Lee, I don't try to close you. I try to create an opportunity where you want to buy, and therefore I get commitment. And most importantly, at the very, very end, they know how to build and keep relationships for further sales.
Now, I just read a recent article about selling that said that the paradigm is shifting, that serving comes first.
Serving. Okay, serving. Well, by serving, I would say that you've got to be create a partnership with a particular prospect to serve their individual needs and wants and to really listen.
So you're not buying the serving thing?
Serving's good.
Serving's good. Where does that fit into your pillars.
I think serving is creating a partnership and solving problems with the prospect. Hopefully, they'll turn into a customer. You serve their needs.
So it incorporates some of the trust elements, mm-hmm. some of the kind of the listening and the problem-solving elements.
Absolutely right. Versus trying to sell something to somebody.
So that's the cardinal sin.
Uh-huh. Cardinal sin of most salespeople is they push too hard, and they're trying to close the sale to get more commissions, and then the prospect backs off. And
so they don't really have the best interest of their customer. No. They have their own agenda and their own commission, like you said.
Absolutely right. They're there to see if they can make more money and generate a sale. And, you know, there's many elements of that, but the most important thing is be a problem solver, be a servant leader.
So servant leader, that's an important aspect to this?
Sure is.
Now, is this something that you can teach a person that's more transactionally minded into being a servant leader, or you just got to say, you know what, it didn't work out, maybe you should find another place to work?
Okay, that's a very good question. There's a study done, and I forget where the study was done, but it said 70% of all people in sales today, regardless of industry, don't have the right sales DNA to be effective at what they do. So there's a whole mismatch out there, and that correlates to
the... But that doesn't mean that they're not necessarily a good salesperson. They're just not a good fit in the sales situation that they're in?
No, it means they don't have the right sales DNA, which is basically two things. Having the ego drive to go out and win for personal self-actualization, and number two, having the empathy where you can create trust and a relationship with the prospect. And I don't think you can necessarily teach either one of those elements. It's born to us. You can accentuate it, but you can't teach it.
So what are the major hiring mistakes that you run across? Because I think I would find it very difficult to hire salespeople because I think everybody can do it if they believe in what they're doing. What are some of the major mistakes?
That's one of them.
Believing that everybody can do it if they have enough belief?
Believing that everybody's a great salesperson. They just need a little bit of training. Major mistakes are two or three of them. Number one, they have a tendency to hire industry experience. And industry experience does not necessarily mean you're a good salesperson. Because someone had 10 years experience on green widgets doesn't mean it's good experience. So the tendency of a business is to hire that industry experience so that person can get a quick start. Not necessarily true. Number two, they hire through personality, wear a background, commonality, colleges, dress well, talk well, say the right things.
See, that's me right there. Guy comes in, he looks good, he's got a good personality, we hit it off. I'm like, dude, let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
That's not good, right?
No, it's not good, Stone, because we're fooled. I mean, from the standpoint, people can really say what you want to hear. And
but that shows they're good salesmen.
Shows they can talk.
It's a paradox.
Shows they know how to talk well and say the right things, but they don't have the heart to win. Again, it goes back to ego drive and empathy, which was a study done about 10,000 salespeople selling insurance, and they determined those are the two major factors that make a great salesperson. It has nothing to do with industry experience or education in most cases.
So now, what if you just ask everybody, well, just give me the names of the last three people you sold something to?
If someone in terms
of... So if I'm trying to find a salesperson, I just ask every single person, give me the names of the last three people you sold something to.
In order to find out if they get a good reference?
Well, no, if they can do it.
If they
even have the list of three.
Okay. That could be one way of hiring. I mean, there are people that during interviewing...
I like it. That's great. I mean, that's short. That's sweet. That's a five-minute interview.
I mean, when you study, it's just hard. It's hard hiring people in general, good ones. But I think sales is at the top of the list because of you got to produce every month.
Right.
And a lot of businesses, you don't have a number after your name, you're not accountable for your particular activities.
So now, is it hard to prevent a salesperson from being kind of like they worked their butt off, they got some sales, and now they're just coasting on those sales that they made? And you know, as the business owner or the manager, you want them to be continually hungry. Like, how do you create that right incentive that keeps them pushing rather than coasting?
Okay, that's a very good question, Lee. We're working with a large corporation, over $250 million in sales, and they have a lot of salespeople nationally, and we had a training program for them a couple of weeks ago. And the issue from the CEO is basically one thing. We have too many farmers on the team and not enough hunters. And what he wants to do is generate more new business development versus taking care of current customers. And when you become into a farmer, you become somewhat complacent and you just live off of those customers, where in fact, a great salesperson is a great hunter. New business development.
So do you then, because are those two, well, first, are those two separate skills? Can a person be a great hunter and a great farmer?
They can. They can be both greater, they can be both a hunter and a farmer, but you can't turn to necessarily a farmer into a hunter. You can turn a hunter into a farmer, because of the two, hunting is a lot more difficult because of the amount of prospecting that you need to do and the amount of rejection you get on a daily basis.
Now, is that a better strategy for a company to just put hunters hunting and farmers farming, and then they work together as a team?
Very good question. In fact, that's a strategy that's coming forward. We have what we call the hunter team, and we have the account management team. Account management team.
Are the farmers?
They're the farmers, right. Another word for farmers is account management.
Okay, well, it doesn't sound as sexy as hunter.
But in our database, Lee and Stone, we have thousands of people that we've been recruiting for over the last 15 years in Atlanta. And for every one hunter, I've got 10 farmers.
Really?
Uh-huh. And the reason is farming, account management, i.e. customer service, is much more easy to cope with on a daily basis than hunting for new business. There seems to be a lack of interest in people going out to prospect, but the people that prospect the most effectively are the ones that make the most money.
Okay, speaking of money, how should we compensate salespeople? Straight commission, base, draw, bonus?
Good question, Stone.
And should you compensate hunters and farmers differently? Or?
Well, there's a number of strategies.
A tenth as much.
A tenth as much.
Right?
Right.
There's only one hunter for 10 farmers.
Right.
So uh-huh. They should be compensated a tenth as much.
Tenth as much. Well, basically, you're almost right on that, because if you take the customer service model, and let's just use an example in Atlanta, and we're franchising this business in other markets. But in Atlanta, say the average salesperson in all industries probably makes a base salary between $50,000 and $60,000 per year. Okay. Then rule of thumb, they should be able to make 25% to 30% to 40% to 50% of that money on commission. If you are account manager, farmer, and new business development, the salary is going to go down, and there isn't going to be any commission more than likely.
The farmer gets a flat amount of money?
Farmer can get a flat amount, maybe some bonus at the end of the year, whereas as a hunter is highly compensated based upon results.
Mm-hmm.
Bring in the bacon and we'll pay you for it. And there seems to be a lack of people that are looking to really go out and knock on doors. It's changed over the years.
Now, it has, because of the internet and the technology changes that have occurred, is the actual selling different now? Do you sell differently if you're leaning on texting and email and social media than you did at the time where you had to knock on doors or you had to pick up a phone?
Well, I've been selling for 30 years and actually sold.
So doesn't that predate the internet?
Yeah, it does. It does. And it wasn't the internet when I first started.
So you were able to sell without social media, without email?
Shoe leather and sweat. So I had shoe leather and sweat, and there wasn't any internet, obviously. But I think what's happened is we've lost some of the core fundamentals of work, and maybe relying too much on social media than going out and meeting people and shaking their hand. Dale Carnegie wrote probably one of the best books in salesmanship, and it was called How to Win Friends and Influence People. He said, you go out and you meet people and you shake your hand, you thank them for the business, and you follow up. And social media has maybe hurt that core concept over the last couple of years.
Now, what do you think about all this marketing automation?
Marketing automation.
Because Atlanta is a big marketing automation town. You know, correct. We have a bunch of the leaders in marketing automation based here.
Right. And marketing automation is here and it's going to get better. And I think that relates to more like prospecting tool, because there's so many good databases. In the old days, well, go to New York City, camp out in a hotel, get the Yellow Pages and start dialing without a cell phone and see how many appointments you can get. Now, through marketing automation, you have all these very finite databases where someone you can actually get very specific information. And again, it's harder now to sell than it has been over the last 15 to 20 years, and for a number of reasons. Most importantly is caller ID and voicemail. Lee, you're calling me. Oh, my gosh, this is Lee from Radio X. I don't want to talk to him right now. So therefore,
I use private number. So I don't even let you know that it's me.
This all sounds very close to home for me.
It's just very hard to get sometimes to the right decision maker because of all the technology related to it.
Well, now, marketing automation that I'm referring to is more, I have a website. I'm getting you to maybe download a white paper. I'm now emailing you kind of on a regular basis to kind of remind you I exist and then maybe share a case study.
Okay, good
point.
I'm
slowly wearing you down.
Right. Okay, so therefore, and you know, there's things such as Skype and the internet being a huge game changer, and you're basically right. So the trend that I see moving forward is going to be more to an inside sales model than outside, therefore taking advantage of the internet. And not having to travel from here to San Francisco. Let's do this by our website. Let's do this by a demo. Let's do it by WebEx, whatever we might be using. It's a trend.
So now what about the age difference in the actual sellers? Now you have the millennials and you have younger people that are the people doing this kind of work. Do you have to position the job differently to them than you would somebody of our age?
Okay. Another good question. Here's the trend. At least in Atlanta, there is renewed emphasis upon hiring younger people out of college and not necessarily industry experience. And the two reasons are, number one, you don't have to pay them the high salary of someone that's got 20 years experience. But secondly, these companies want to train. So the hiring the talent and developing a training program to help them specifically makes a lot of sense to a lot of companies, especially in information technology.
And that's something your firm can help a company with?
Absolutely right. We can measure online sales DNA. And we were talking to Lee. Well, Lee, thank you very much for your resume. Would you mind taking an online assessment tool that we can determine if what skills you've got? And we measure 12 different characteristics of your personality. And Lee says, sure, I'll take the test because you're not paying for it. We are. We get back raw scores in 12 different areas, prospecting, closing, organizational skills, stamina, on a scale from 0 to 10, we need 7.5s, top 25% out of 10. And we have to give 5 of those sales DNA assessment tools to get one good salesperson. Even though, my gosh, what a good-looking resume. Look, a good-looking Lee, good-looking guy. Let's hire this. Dresses well. Went to the right schools. Knows all these people. But you've got to pass our test.
And that's the hunter test or the farmer test?
That's just a test in general. And we can determine from that test whether they're really a hunter. Because, again, the emphasis upon the marketplace in Atlanta is hiring good new business development individuals that can go out and bring in new business.
So is there any degree or major that has more propensity of good salespeople that you found over time?
No, I don't think there's any correlation at all.
Nothing. So marketing, sales, they can have a degree in sales.
They can have a degree in basket weaving. And they can effectively, if they have the right sales DNA, they could be good at it.
And then when does that sales DNA start showing itself? Could you take that test as a, you know, an elementary school kid and you can tell?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that?
I sure do. I really do. Just like if you have good artistic ability when you're in grade school, more than likely you're going to have good artistic ability when you're in college.
So you think it presents itself early on in their development?
No question about it. And it goes back to ego-driven empathy, which is how do you get you got to get up every single day in sales and win the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
And no one can teach you how to do that because it comes from the heart. Vince Lombardi, Green Bay Packers, show me a person with a lot of head and a lot of heart. I'll show you a person that never walks off the field in second place. So we're looking for head and heart.
So your training programs, are they aimed primarily at the salesperson or are they more designed for the sales manager?
They're really designed specifically stoned for the salesperson.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about that. What could we typically expect if we participated in a sales training program that you provided?
And that person has already passed that test, right?
Yes.
So you already know that.
All right, so you've already got good material.
So you've already identified them as having the skills to do this.
Correct.
Right? Because that's a different strategy when you're teaching someone that's passed the test than someone who hasn't, right?
It's like sending you to baseball camp. That we know that you have good eye-hand coordination. We know that you have good athletic ability. We're more effective to be able to teach you how to hit consistently than someone that's not have good eye-hand coordination. Same thing applies.
Right. So you wouldn't want to go, if somebody said to you, well, I need you to take my existing team and put them through this, you would pass because you said that wouldn't be effective because if they don't have the right DNA, you're wasting your money. Because that would be building the trust that you were talking about, right? And not trying to sell them something, but trying to help them.
You can't turn a duck into an eagle.
Right?
And everybody wants eagles.
Right? So, if they had 100 people and you're like, I want my 100 people to go through your system, you would say, no, that's not going to work.
It's not going to work. Because you don't have the raw clay, the raw talent.
Right. Because out of those 100, you might have 10 good ones.
It's basically about right. It's basically 1 out of 5 people, Lee, that mm-hmm. have it. And then you can, once you have that core ability, you can cultivate it.
Right.
You can't give it.
Right. So you can't start there. You got to start at choosing the right people.
That's the number one mistake made in hiring salespeople because they're hiring industry experience that may not have the raw DNA.
Right. So if you don't fix that, you haven't fixed anything.
That's 100% correct. And that's why the statistic is 8 out of 10 salespeople fail to reach their quota consistently regardless of industry. 8 out of 10 fail because they're not hitting their goal.
So it's a broken industry.
It's a very broken industry. No question about it.
But it's the lifeblood of the company.
It's 100% right. That's why we're in this business.
It's job security for you.
Right.
All right. I want to hear about the training program. Just some general, some high spots on it. Is like a 2-3 day program? Is it an ongoing?
It could be 5 day program. It could be a 3 day program. And it is ongoing. And what we're really looking to do is, we teach them how to give a winning presentation, a sales presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And most sales presentations made in America today, the salesperson wings it. They shoot from the hip. There's no structured program to present in a methodical way. They go from, so we teach 5 steps. And the 5 steps are very simple, but most people don't follow these 5 steps. Number one, pre-call objective. Why am I calling on Lee? You got to determine specifically what is my objective in making a sales call. To get a sale, to get an appointment, write a proposal. But you have to understand what you need before you walk through that door. Most people don't do that. Number two, I need to be able to establish rapport. How do you create rapport? Hey, Lee. Hey, Stone. You all went to the University of Georgia. Great school. They got a good football team this year. So all of a sudden, I got to get you to talk about yourself, break the ice, so I'm not a salesperson trying to create a conversation with you. So rapport is not that difficult to handle in most cases. Number three, the biggest one of all, and because we grade people on sales scorecards and doing this, probing. The questions are the answers. Most salespeople don't take enough time to ask the right questions, open-ended questions versus closed-ended questions. And a good salesperson is trying to determine specifically where the problems are. And you do that by asking the right questions. Tell me about your successes or failures in hiring salespeople. If you could wave a magic wand, what would the ideal salesperson look like? How would they sell? So you probe. Then number four, you got to present benefits, something that makes your company truly unique. What's your USP, unique selling proposition? Most salespeople don't do that. They say, we have good quality, we have good service, but everybody says that, so it's not unique. You got to bring out something that's truly unique about your company and be able to communicate it in terms of benefits, not features. Number five, ask for some type of commitment. May we have ask for the order, assume the sale, use the alternative close. I presented program A or program B, which seems to be better for you today. So make some form of
that happens a lot more, or it doesn't happen a lot more than I think people realize. Salespeople don't ask for the business, right?
There's another study, 70% of all sales calls made in the U.S. today, the salesperson never asks for the order. And why do you think they don't ask for the order?
They're scared to get a no.
That's exactly right. Fear of rejection. I had a guy on my sales team for about 2 years. Great guy, looked like a poster child for salesmanship. Good education, good family, good background, but he never sold anything. And he never sold anything because he was afraid to ask for the order. That's exactly right. Asking, you shall receive. Knocking, the door shall be answered.
I agree. Jack, you want to invest in a weekly show here at Business Radio X? Would you like to underwrite maybe our Thursday 2 o'clock show?
What's it cost? About $5 million?
See, there, he's even at least engaging in a conversation. But if it's a no, that's cool. But yeah, and we'll talk about other stuff.
That's exactly right. But a no today does not mean a no 3 months from now.
Right, it doesn't mean no forever.
Right, right.
Right? And you rarely get a hell no, right? You get a no, not now, I don't know, tell me more, what's it cost?
If most sales occur at touch number 3, 4, and 5, you got to go there and get 3 or 4 no's before you get a yes, but have enough courage to hang in the game.
So persistence, that's another quality?
Oh, persistence, I would say, what makes a great salesperson? I would say persistence is probably number one, that you believe that you can achieve something and you're willing to put in the effort in order to hit your individual goals. Only 3% of the population has written goals with deadlines. So good salespeople have written goals, and they can determine their own income. If you want to make $150,000 per year, then write down your goal and keep working to hit that goal. Most professions, you can't do that because they're more salary-driven than compensation. Another statistic is there's a Guinness Book of World Records. The highest paid salespeople in America, and this guy was in the Guinness Book of World Records, was on straight commission. And he was selling encyclopedias through businesses and homes before the internet came. But he had so many zeros after his name, it was hard to count them all. But he sold on straight commission.
So you think America would be better suited if we just got rid of salaries and just put everybody on commission?
I do.
I think what's happening is this. What I see is larger corporations especially are downplaying the amount of salary and then boosting up the backside in terms of commission. It's more entrepreneurial than it, I think it's trying to become more entrepreneurial. But if you're making a salary of $90,000 per year and you're looking for a new position and this company's only going to offer $60,000 per year, then you'd say, I need to make $90,000 a year because that's my standard of living. And then maybe you could say, well, I'll make 60, but then I can make another 60 in commission. So that's the risk that a good salesperson that has confidence is willing to take.
So you think then the employee should be more proactive in asking for a commission?
Well, they should, but they don't. Because everybody wants guarantees.
Those are opposites.
Right. They are. They are. Well, I think there's a correlation. I mean, you all started this business, right? You're entrepreneurs. Where's your guarantee of income? There's no guarantee because you started your own business. You're an entrepreneur. But high risk, high reward. So salespeople are the same way. If they believe in working hard and they have in their own individual quality, they can name their own income, just like an entrepreneur can.
Right. I mean, salespeople are entrepreneurs.
They should be, right. But most of them are not, in my opinion. They're too set on getting a high salary, and they're more interested in the guarantee than the gambled results they can achieve if they exceed their quotas.
So tell us about this book. What compelled you to write it? When did you get started?
I owned a business selling door-to-door for about 10 years, and I had 10 salespeople that worked for me. And I tried to determine what was really working in terms of selling, and I came up
with... You had 10 salespeople working for you? So you were drinking a lot, probably, right? So.
There is a correlation, right? There's a correlation.
You got the stats on that?
Well, I was trying... We were trying... It was a franchise that we owned, and I was fortunate to be elected president of the Franchise Association, so my job was to go around and help other franchises hire and train salespeople, and I was trying to do the same thing myself, and that... I came up with all these ideas that what makes a great salesperson, how to hire them. So I came up with this book, 21 Laws of Sales Success. It has the 21 basic principles of selling, and wrote about it. And then we invented a game called The Best and Brightest Salesperson, where they read the book and we have 6 stacks of cards. They roll a dice. There's 6 numbers on a dice. They pull from stack number 3. The card says, can't buy from you because you don't have the lowest price. If they read this book, you know how to overcome that objection. People buy value, not necessarily the lowest price. So another book's coming out in January. It's called Selling to the Heart. And I wrote that. It's 24 different chapters. And I'm thinking, why did I buy from Lee? Why did I buy from Stone? And I'm saying, do they have the lowest price? Not necessarily. Did they communicate the best value? Yes. But more importantly, there were emotional triggers that I felt comfortable with both of you, that I could trust you and I could work with you over a period of time. That's an emotional feeling more than it is a logical feeling. So sell to the heart before you sell to the head, because most buying decisions are emotionally made.
That's good stuff. Now, you're trying to expand nationally, right? You're taking sales talent around the country, around the world?
We're going to be going into the major cities in Atlanta and setting up offices through a franchise system.
So you're going to franchise because you're a franchise background?
Right. And you know, the reason there is someone that owns a sales talent franchise, and if they're good at selling, they can make a pretty good income.
And you give them that test so you can tell if they're good at selling.
You know what?
It takes about a minute, right?
It's funny. It's funny you say that because we do the test. And in a lot of franchises you buy, they don't test your sales DNA, but you've got to get a score. And if you get a good score, then with good training that we'll provide, you're going to more than likely be successful because the problem we solve is finding sales talent to increase the sales of any company.
So you're looking for people that are already in some sort of a business and they're going to do this on the side, or this is going to be their sole business in those different markets?
Full-time. I ran a ministry at my church for 8 years, Crossroads Career Network, and I had all these people coming in that were downsized from corporations. It was St. Benedict's Church in Johns Creek. And I discovered all these people are losing their jobs, and they're six-figure guys and women, and I'm going, what are they going to do if they can't find another job? So the point is, if you can't find a job, create one, buy one.
That's right.
And that's why we're going to be, one of the reasons why I'm going to start franchising, because they can make a very good income, enjoy what they do, and be a happy camper if they're successful.
So then, so this is going to be made available to, that's a good prospect, is that kind of downsized executive?
Yeah, that's one of them. Or it could be someone that's 2 or 3 years that says, I'm tired of making money for the company. I want to make more money for myself.
Right.
That are to be independently employed. If you look at the people that you study, high-income people, most of them own something, and a lot of them are entrepreneurs like you guys.
And then are you starting to sell the franchise?
It'll be first quarter of next year, January, February, March.
And do you have the pricing, or is that still being worked
on? Still being worked on, how to formulate that. And I've did an analysis about 30 business-to-business franchises and you know, what they charge and et cetera. And, you know, the price range is anywhere from $50,000 to $75,000.
Right, so it'll be somewhere in that range?
Yeah, more than likely.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today. If somebody wanted to learn more, where do they go?
It's a really difficult website. Not really. www.salestalent.com.
And then they can get information, your book, this opportunity. That's kind of the command central for Jack, right?
Yep. I think we got a pretty good website. It's informative. And our phone number's there, so I'd be happy to speak to anyone.
Salestalent.com. Check it out. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.